The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Wee wee!
This is how we do it.
Johnson cuts back and no signal yet. Touchdown, Cleveland. What a drive on third down. End zone. Pass picked. Johnson. Bridgewater underneath. Pass is caught in the dive for the touchdown. Melvin Gordon able to get it in. And exactly what the Broncos needed here to start the second half. Keenum Keith splits. Pass caught. Touchdown. Stanton setting up a screen for Williams. And touchdown, Denver. The handoff. Johnson again. Got a block from Wyatt Teller, but D'Ernest Johnson. I think we know who's getting the game ball after this one.
Wee wee! Wee wee!
D-Mac, there were 2 points of this game that just, man, stabbed me in the heart and turned the knife. I mean, it was just, like, disgusting to me. The 2 points were at the very beginning of the game and at the very end of the game. And it was just absolutely inexcusable to me.
Talk to me.
You know, most teams in the NFL, they do defer. And I know you've got a different philosophy,
but there's
a reason why teams defer. It makes sense, okay? The most effective weapon in all of football is the double score. And not only did Kevin Stefanski say, nah, I don't care about that, but on a night in which you've got 30-mile-per-hour winds and you've got a backup quarterback in the game, you've got a backup right tackle in the game, Von Miller's promised he's going to kill the dude, Kevin Stefanski does what no coach does. He takes the ball. He takes the ball. And I get it. Some people like the aggressive nature of that. Matter of fact, I sort of do too. But not when you got a backup quarterback in the game and you've got 30-plus mile-per-hour wins. Nobody expected anybody to be able to score in this game. But Kevin Stefanski looked at Vic Fangio's film. He said, okay. Yeah, all right. Child, please. Like, I don't care if I got Case Keenum in the game. I don't care if I got 30-mile-per-hour wins. I got a plan. And I know exactly how I'm going to attack your defense. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, it's only going to take me 5 plays to do it. I'm going to march up and down that field with Case Keenum with 30-mile-per-hour winds. I'm going to score a dang touchdown, and I'm going to do it like it's easy. That's exactly what he did. That was absolutely a statement to Vic Fangio that I know your scheme, I've seen your scheme, and I can out-coach your scheme.
Okay, keep going.
And I'm going to kind of skip over a lot here in the middle of the game, but I'm going to go to the other end of the game, the other moment that was stab you in the heart and twist it, right? So that was the beginning. Then you get to the very end. Well, you've got the game on the line. You're only down by 3 points. The Browns get the ball back. There's 5 minutes and change left on the clock. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Broncos got the energy. They got the mojo right now. Mm-hmm. They just scored. We've got, in theory, the defensive mastermind out there. We've got the highest paid defense in the entire NFL. We've got the highest paid secondary in the entire NFL. All we have to do is get the ball back.
Yep.
You can even let them. It's not like you couldn't let them get a first down. No, they could get a first down. They could get 2 first downs. You've got timeouts and you've got the 2-minute warning. It was near impossible to think that they could eat up the entirety of the clock, but they did. The Browns took that ball. They marched up and down that field, and they did it in an aggressive manner. They did it in a manner that, again, was, hey, Vic, I know your scheme. I know the weaknesses, and I'm going to go after it. Most teams are going to run the ball right now in a 4-minute situation. I'm going to throw it. I'm going to throw it to the soft spot because I've already identified where it's going to be. So they did that, and they marched up and down the field, and they get to the lower red zone, and they've got a play in which D'Ernest breaks free, should have scored a touchdown for some inexplicable reason. He decides to slide down.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he was thinking right there.
I don't know. Whatever he did, and then they get an illegal motion penalty, and it gets backed up. So You still got some hope, okay? So it's 3rd and 7 at this point. I don't recall how much time exactly. Like a minute, roughly, give or take,
I believe.
Yeah,
9, I believe, but I can double check.
A minute and 9, we'll say. 3rd and 7, you got 1 minute and 9. And I'm still thinking to myself, holy cow, even after all of that, they marched all the way down the field. You got them at 3rd and 7.
Then at 9.
I know they're going to hand the ball off because that's the right thing to do.
No timeouts left. But
certainly, you know they're going to hand the ball off.
Sure, it's 40 seconds off the clock.
They give a little draw to D'Ernest, and he goes and he picks up the first down. And, I mean, that knife was already in your heart, and he just twisted it, and he turned it, and he pointed it in every direction you possibly could.
Yep.
And when everything was on the line, Vic was exposed at the beginning, and Vic was exposed at the end.
Well said. And you can think about it. There were 3 significant times that you needed the defense to stand up right at the beginning of the game on that first drive, which is very anti-NFL. The vast majority of times, you defer.
Yeah.
The vast majority of times.
If you got Peyton Manning, okay, take the ball. Let's go set the tone.
I mean, how insulting. You know, we feel ready with our first 15 plays, and we want to get to it. So that's one time. Second time, how about the response when the Broncos come out? Good job by the Broncos. God forbid I say good job by Pat Shurmur, but good job by everybody on offense. Whatever adjustments you had to make, you did pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't even think Teddy was even going to start the second half, and instead you get a nice long drive, you get a touchdown, and despite all the crap that had happened, and props to Shelby Harris for getting a block on the field goal, so it was only 10-0, not 13-0. Now it is 10-7, and all you need is a stop.
That's right.
All you need is a stop, and you let it was just like the beginning of the game.
That's right. It was the exact same thing. It was the beginning, and it was the end. It was Kevin Stefanski saying, I am a way better coach than you. I'm so confident in my scheme. I'm so confident in my plan that I don't care what you're going to do. I'm going to go against the odds. I'm going to do what I'm not supposed to do. I'm going to throw the ball in a 4-minute situation. I'm going to take the ball at the beginning of the game with 30-mile-per-hour winds and a backup quarterback. It's inexcusable. You look, the offense wasn't great. You scored 10 points. That's not okay. You're not going to win any games doing that. I'm not out here to excuse the offensive effort or to excuse Teddy Bridgewater or excuse Pat Shurmur.
14 points.
14 points, excuse me. Thank you. But I will give them credit for when the game was on the line. What did they do? They went out and they had the best drive of the game right there at the end, and they went down and they scored points. Why can't our defense show up when the game's on the line?
Why can't they show up? No takeaways. 9 for 15 allowing first downs on third down. The Browns were 9 for 15. And by the way, I think Troy put it out there. The Broncos are, in terms of stopping third down, been brutal in these 4 games. It's some ridiculous number like 37 for 55 teams are against the Broncos and converting third downs. You can look it up, but it's something like that. It's been awful. No, 1 takeaway, Tyler, in 4 games.
Not good.
1 takeaway. 1 sack.
No.
And I think everybody on the Browns is still alive. So no depth.
Well, matter of fact, we know that the Browns have...
recap.
They've given us the vital signs and thing, and I'm drawing a blank on the dude's name. The right tackle, help me out here.
Blake Hance,
thank you.
And never forget him.
They tweeted out the vital signs of Blake Hance, that blood pressure's okay, you know, the body's okay, his thumbs, his fingers, they're all intact. Matter of fact, he's still standing, and they put out a photo of him blocking Von Miller.
Yeah. And Vaughn gets,
what you're talking about.
Well, you got hurt, Vaughn. And then we hear, kind of in a weird, wacky way, Vaughn say, hey, I was all right. Wait, hold on a second. It's a field goal game. The Browns have the ball with 5 minutes to go. Vaughn says he could play. We got Teddy Bridgewater limping around out there, but yet we're trying to be careful with Von Miller. Why?
Yeah.
I can put a conspiracy theory to that, though.
Okay. I'll hear that conspiracy theory. Give me just a second, though, because I know a lot of eyes were on Vaughn, and well-deserved. Vaughn called a shot. He pointed to the stands, and we were all going to pay attention, so I did. And I told you guys I was going to be very critical of his performance. Injury aside, in the first half, I give the Browns a lot of credit, and I give Kevin Stefanski a lot of credit. They knew that Von Miller was a man on a mission. So what did they do? They came up with a game plan to neutralize Von Miller. And even with all the double teams, and he was double teamed all the time, and the chips and the formational presence to channel him and corral his pass rush, Von still was finding ways to get after the quarterback. So considering the game plan that they had for Von, I personally do give Vaughn credit in the first half that he was getting close, man, for a situation which they had a game plan to take you out. He was playing good football. Now, the injury stuff, go ahead. I mean, I can't quite explain that.
When's the trade deadline?
The 8th, right?
November 2nd.
6th, 2nd, 3rd,
mm-hmm.
1st, 2nd.
We want to trade Von Miller. We don't want an injured Von Miller. We want a healthy Von Miller to trade.
Maybe.
Told you it was a conspiracy theory.
I mean, I'm not saying that Vaughn is not tradable. I think he is. Everybody's tradable. Everybody on the entire team. If you're worth value and they don't think you're coming back next year, you're tradable.
We got a lot of guys. Well, we don't have a lot, but that are worth value.
I just don't buy that in the middle of the game that Vic Fangio's got his life on the line. And for sure, he's feeling that pressure that he would not want Vaughn back out there. So that thing was coming from way upstairs.
Well,
if that thing came down, that was
right.
Not from Vic Fangio.
Correct. I don't think Vic makes that call. I don't think Vic makes many calls. But it was Vic who came out to speak to, you know, I shouldn't say any conspiracy theories aside from what costumes are we all wearing on Monday night to Vaughn's Halloween party? What are we going as?
Right.
Come on. Are you guys pumped or what?
You know, the sad part. I wish we were even at a point that would, like, the Halloween party was like a story. Isn't that sad? I sort of wish I was sitting here, like, fighting with you. Oh, it doesn't matter. Are you kidding me? Like, why are you making such a big deal about the Halloween party?
Right.
But you don't even care about the Halloween party right
You're
now.
You're right, actually. I don't
even think James Berlat, even though I saw him tweet about it, I don't even think he cares about the Halloween party right now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because that is so many levels deep that you're into, like, the 12th chapter of problems if you're reading the book of problems
right.
of the Denver Broncos.
You're right.
It's just an irrelevant story right now.
You're right. So, you know what? Have egg toss. Have a Halloween party. What do we care? I mean, what is it bad optics? Yeah. But it's only bad optics if the season still means something. Well, have fun. What do we care? Have a good time. Who gives a crap? Anyways, Vic Fangio today, we were wondering what he was going to say. This happened a couple hours ago. It's a little bit of a edited version of it. But we thought if you missed it, you'd enjoy some of the best of Vic Fangio from earlier today.
Vic, you said last night that you got to coach better as a staff. As you look at your guys in that room, do you see any blind spots that they're not covering in enough details with their position groups that are concerning?
What's most concerning is, you know, our fundamentals were lacking in that game, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. And when that's lacking, that's poor coaching on our part. And that starts with me. And we've got to do a better job of getting the fundamental things taught and executed.
Well, besides tackling, is that assignments, lining up? What goes into that?
No, not so much the assignments and lining ups. It's being where you're supposed to be at all times and being there for the different type of plays. You know, they run the stretch play, you got to stay in your gap. They run a boot play, you got to be there for the boot. You got to have good eyes. You know, and be disciplined when you play a team that's good with the boot game, good with the screen game, good with the play action game, and we didn't get that done well enough.
Coach, do you think Von Miller put too much pressure on himself coming into this game with the statements he had earlier in the week?
Maybe he did. I think you'd have to ask him that, you know.
What did you think as a coach about him going out on a limb like that?
Yeah, well, my style's always been not to say very much, you know. Do your talking on the field. It's not my style.
You had a lot of injuries.
Excuse me.
You've been doing this for a long time. The outside nose is growing. Do you feel pressure on yourself in terms of doing a better job? Do you get this season back on track in terms of your own status, your coaching status?
Yeah, I'm not worried about my coaching status. What I'm worried about is this team and doing anything and everything we can to get our guys coached up to play better. And that's my only focus.
You guys have had a lot of linebacker injuries. Kaiser's the latest. We look outside the organization to bring somebody else in here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, George and his staff is, you know, looking at that.
How do you prevent
yourself?
You've
had a lot of soft tissue injuries. Do you look at Lando's operation and see if there's anything that can be tweaked there? Do you look at it like you look at anything else in your team?
Yeah, we look at everything. I mean, as you guys know, we took a deep dive on the injuries this offseason. We've done anything and everything we can to mitigate injuries. It's, you know, we haven't mitigated them enough, obviously. But we do look at it constantly, yes.
How do you make sure that you don't put too much excuse on all the injuries that are happening, specifically with the team and an inside linebacker?
Yeah, there's no excuses with injuries. It's part of the game. We're not the only team in the NFL that has injuries. Next man up mentality. Us as coaches has got to get those guys ready to play and play good.
Yeah, I know bye weeks can be a lot of self-scouting, but with it being a mini-bye, will you guys maybe do a little more self-scouting and see about changing things operationally or coaching responsibilities or anything?
Yeah, we'll take these few days to self-scout for sure. And we'll take a look at everything moving forward.
Is the expectation
ideas, changes, anything like that in light of the slump?
In regards to what?
Well, operationally with the coaching staff, working with the players.
Yeah, no, not at this time.
To inspire, I guess.
We always try and do a better job of inspiring them. I don't have a problem with our efforts or our intents. We just have to do a better job of coaching these guys to be more fundamentally sound.
Hey, Vic, in your past when you guys have hit a rut on defense at your various stops, do you get out of it with lineup changes, or do you simplify the scheme to fit with the available personnel?
Yeah, there's three things you can do. You alluded to two of them. One, lineup changes. Two, simplify. Or three, you know, when you have a bunch of guys go down, recreate. And, you know, the recreates are usually are short-lived with success. We just have to do what we do better.
Is the expectation that Jerry Jeudy will definitely be back in the starting lineup on next game against?
Yeah, Washington? I think the expectation is he will play this game. He was medically cleared to play this game, this past game. He wanted to play. We didn't think it was prudent to play him with no practice.
What do you think the biggest thing he'll do for the offense is when he's back on the field with the attention that he draws?
Well, it's just another good player out there. And the more good players you have out there, the better chance you have. And he's definitely a good receiver, runs good routes, can get open, and we're looking forward to having him back.
What have you seen from him?
Go ahead, Jeff.
Just, you've always been very sort of detailed focused.
Right.
When the disconnect happens, what is it? Are they not hearing the message or delivery, or what do you think happens in those cases?
I think it's a lot of things, but I think some of it, too, is guys start to press, you know, when things aren't going right and maybe try and do too much and fudge a little bit here and there. And we constantly have to fight against that.
You said last night Teddy's the quarterback. When you look at his play over the last 3 or 4 weeks, does he still look similar to how he did the first 3 weeks? And if not, how do you get him back to playing at that level?
Yeah, I think he does. Obviously, he's been didn't finish the Baltimore game right. Got banged around last week. Was a little hobbled this week, but I thought he put together a courageous effort and was out there playing. And I still see the same player. We just have to play better as a team, you know. And then other guys, everybody's performance will look a little better.
Have you had
if we can get off the field quicker on defense, we give the offense more opportunities. If we can convert some third downs, we get more opportunities on offense. If we can run it and throw it better on the early downs, we get more opportunities. So it's a team-wide issue right now. And once we can rectify some of that, everybody else's performance will look better.
Have you talked to George at all? Just had a big deep dive discussion and anything you can share?
Yeah, I've talked to George, talked to John, talked to Joe. Yeah, we've talked, and all very constructive and productive, and we all want the same thing. We want to get this team back to winning.
Surtain had a couple of pass breakups last night and another good coverage down the field. What's impressed you most?
His coverage was very good last night, and it's been good all season. He's a very impressive player. We got to get him tackling better against the run. Run defense is an 11-man operation, and we got to get all 11 in sync.
With the pass rush, what do you think needs to improve there, especially over these last four games that you look at?
Well, we got to do a better job against the run to get more pass rush opportunities. You know, they had 6 third and ones and 2 third and two or threes. You know, those aren't ideal pass rush situations. So when you're struggling against the run, it has an avalanche effect on everything. And pass rush is one of them.
Where's that balance when you're struggling to make sure guys are taking it personally, but you don't want to browbeat them either when you're on a four-game losing streak and create, you know, guys are demoralized? What is that balance as a coach?
It's a fine line. There's a bunch of fine lines you have to deal with when you're coaching, especially in today's game. And hopefully we as a staff will manipulate that fine line the right way.
Vic, when you look at the interception that Teddy threw, do you think he could step into his throw? Is health affecting the deeper throws?
I didn't think so on that particular play. I think what happened on that play, it was third and nine, and they had a coverage where the intermediate stuff was covered, and he didn't want to check it down, and he got aggressive and went for it. And safety fell back there.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Vic.
Thank you. Thank
you. I close my eyes.
You're my boy, Blue!
Only for a moment, and the moment's gone.
Seriously, that was depressing.
I hope
you got vaccinated.
Has he's okay. Curiosity.
He didn't sound good.
Just in the wind.
You're my boy, Blue.
All we are is just in the wind.
Who died? Oh, yeah, the season.
Ugh.
I guess Blake Hance is okay.
Yeah, that's good. Browns are really proud of him, by the way.
You're my boy, Blue.
All right, so what do we take away from that depressing time spent talking?
Man, there's so many things that I've got questions about. I've got so many questions about just the overall tone of the presser. It just didn't go in the direction I thought I was going to go. Didn't learn some information that I really wanted to learn. Whatever. Okay, fine. I guess what's fascinating to me is that it's clear he was not his normal self. And, like, I just want to know, like, why? You know, like, why? Why? Is it because you're on a four-game slide? Is it because you just got scolded? Is it because you might have your job on line? Is it because they told you to make a change? Also, did you notice when Mike Kliss asked him about changes, his very first response to it I thought was interesting. Because it was one of those things, you know, when you ask somebody to repeat a question, you heard the question, you know what it is, but you're buying yourself some time.
Mm-hmm.
Fangio says, well, what kind of changes do you mean?
Right.
It's like inside his head, like, yeah, I've been told that there's something on the horizon. I might have to change something, but he bought himself some time and then he denied it. But my initial reaction was that he was hoping that Mike wouldn't ask the very specific question that he knew was going to change.
Well, I've asked him about it. Troy Ranks have asked him about it. Mike Kliss has asked him about it. It's pretty obvious at this point, and everybody knows it. So what's going to change? Who knows? But I'll tell you this, as depressing as it was, today we walk in and look at Del Frisco's with the food that they brought us. I mean, absolutely. I know this is rubbing it into the listeners out there, and I don't mean to do that, but I'm just saying it made us feel better because the food was so good at Del Frisco's that they brought here today.
Well, they could go themselves.
You should go yourself. Del Frisco's at I-25 in Orchard. We thank Del Frisco's for bringing the food in. That was awesome. You got a question for Tyler. Mount Palumbus Speak on the way. That's next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. From the banks of Cherry Creek to the Flatirons of Boulder to the South Stands of Mile High, he's the state of Colorado's native son. A man of mythical and physical proportion. University of Colorado Buffalo's team captain. Denver Broncos Super Bowl 50 champion. He is Mount Palumbus. Who dare attempt scale the mighty Mount Palumbus on this day?
This is Tim from Windsor, Colorado. Tim, thank you for the question. Mount Palumbus Speak is powered by 5280 Exteriors. Tyler.
What's up?
Should the Broncos fan base be rooting for three more straight losses so we can finally get rid of Fangio and Shurmur at the bye week?
Mount Palumbus Speak!
Oh my gosh, I hate that stinking question. Goodness, I hate that question. You knew I hated that question. You asked me that question even though you knew I was going to hate the dang question. I'm not going to tell anybody how to feel. That's the bottom line, all right? I'm not going to tell anybody that you shouldn't pull for a couple losses. If you're done, you're done. I think there are people hoping that we would get embarrassed last night because they were hoping that there would be change today. As a matter of fact, I know for a fact there were a lot of people that were hoping that the Broncos got blown out last night because they thought that that might lead towards change today. So if you're in that ballpark, man, I can't blame you. I'm sick and tired of this. I grew up here. I literally went to high school 10 minutes from where I'm sitting right now. I watched the Broncos when they were great. I played for the Broncos when they were great. I won a Super Bowl with the Broncos. I understand all of it. And there's a part of me that wants change really, really badly. I just personally can't do it. I can't do it. I cannot sit there and hope for the Broncos to lose three more games because, dude, even if you get change at that point, mm-hmm. what people might not understand.
What's the point?
What is the point, number one?
Right.
Okay. What are you getting after that?
Or revenge?
Number two, right? And then number three, what you don't understand is how hard it is to change a losing culture.
Yeah.
It is just so dang hard. Yeah, so I guess at the end of the day, I would rather the Broncos be middle of the road and hopefully they still make the right choice. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they still make changes because then it's easier to change the culture. But I'm not going to tell anybody how to feel, man, because I get it.
Yeah, inevitably what happens is there's probably a 25 to 30% roster overhaul anyway. The culture of the team doesn't start this week or in training camp. The culture of the team starts in, you know, when you start putting the team together.
Yeah.
When you start having meetings and communication and, you know, eventually you see each other in the spring and the summer, that sort of thing. But it all is an accumulation of philosophy that Brandon Staley is as good as he is, not because he's just good the past 6 or 7 weeks, because he's put so much time, effort, and energy into developing a philosophical strategy to get the Chargers to where Anthony Lynn couldn't.
Did get his butt whipped last weekend, though.
So far, so good.
No, I'm with you. I think he's building an incredible program. Obviously, when you hear that man speak, it's just like, I get it. Like, you put him in an interview room, I'm going to hire you because you sound incredible. Nick Sirianni, you put him in an interview room. I'm like, I don't get how that dude got hired.
I agree. Mike Shanahan lost football games, as did Gary Kubiak. But you knew what the culture was, what the philosophy was. You knew how they felt about things. When they lost games because, hey, man, any given Sunday, things might not go your way, this, that, the other thing. It wasn't because they were lost out there. Or they philosophically didn't have any direction. And that's why, to me, George Payton missed an opportunity in the draft. And we've talked ad nauseum about it. And hopefully that mistake won't happen again. But I'll tell you this, right now, on the surface, this quarterback crop, it's thin, man. It's thin. And maybe Mark will be right eventually about Aaron Rodgers. And we can come back to it in free agency somehow. There'll be a lot of interesting free agency options. But you've given up on Drew. You clearly don't think anything of Drew Locke.
I mean, definitely not.
We just saw that yesterday. And Teddy Bridgewater is a career backup quarterback. There would have been something special at that. You know what? In all honesty, it did feel like something special was maybe about to happen if the defense could have got the ball back.
It did. The offense was in a rhythm. They just had the best drive of the game. Actually, they had a couple nice drives in the second half. They really did.
Yes.
But you marched all the way down the field, and it was a long, sustained drive. You used just about everybody. You got yourself within 3 points.
Get the ball back. There's 5:19 to go. Let's go. Let's go, defense. Let's go.
I just can't do it, though, man. I can't root for the Broncos to be that bad.
No, I can't either.
What do I gain by the Broncos being that bad?
A vengeance. You're angry.
Right.
You're just an angry firing. It does nothing.
Exactly.
It does nothing.
I mean, at the end of the day, the dude should be hired, retained, or fired for all the exact same reasons, and it shouldn't take a slide like that to get to the right answer.
If the Broncos tank out in the next three games, everybody probably will be fired to placate the fan base because you have four home games left, and they want somebody to be in that stadium to make money when the Detroit Lions come to eat your kneecaps. But that seriously will be the only reason. It'll be a financial business decision. That's it. It won't be anything about the team or building or anything like that. Joe Ellis will just have to tell George Payton, fire him. I want fannies in the seats. play Drew Lock. We got to have something different. That's it. Everybody's going to be gone anyway. And by the way, NFL teams do that because it is a business.
You're probably right. I wouldn't discount. I do think that there is a slight possibility that George Payton looks at this. And if it gets bad enough, he just says, look, I'm trying to build a culture here. This ain't it. This ain't it. And I don't know what the next guy is. I don't know where I'm going. I don't have any solutions for this year.
Right.
But I know that this ain't it.
It's good enough. It's a good enough reason to do it. And hopefully George Payton won't make a mistake in the draft like he made this year. But he does work the back end of the roster. Oh, my Lord. The back end. Caller 4 right now gets a $50 gift to Smash Burger. Smash Burger is now available inside Ball Arena in Section 303. We will see you there tonight in Section 303 at Smash Burger as the Nuggets open things up against San Antonio. And I'm not even going to tell you what that means. Be sure not to miss the Fans Nuggets postgame show following all remaining 81 games on your home for the most Nuggets content, 104.3 The Fan.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
All right, our guys, Nick and Cecil, will be on here in just a little bit. We'll get their takes. I'm sure they're completely enthused by the production of the Broncos. So, interesting to hear that. We'll have game balls from you in just a little bit. See how that goes. Other things on tap for this weekend. What's good? What's good this weekend? Who are you guys playing? What is CU doing?
We got Cal. We got Cal. This is one of the few opportunities that you've got left to get a victory. They got one win. They're not good. We're not good.
Yeah.
We found out last weekend, though, that I could say hoorah that we are not the worst team in college football. We beat that team.
Arizona. Yeah, they're terrible.
Yeah, so I'm glad that we're not them. Jed Fish, you're my friend. I love you, man. I'm rooting for you. I hope things go better next year, but I'm glad we're not you.
Good.
We decided off the air that on Monday to honor and celebrate Von Miller's Halloween party, which is happening on Monday, that none of us, including you, have been invited to.
That's right. That's true. Yeah.
We're going to have our own Halloween party.
I blame Stokely. I'm just like guilty by association, you know?
You got a ring with Von.
I know, but now I hang out with Stokely every day. So it's like, you know, it's good. Pick a side, Tyler. You know, who's it going to be?
If you showed up at his Halloween party, do you think you could get in or not?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
I could not.
But I'd prefer to have the invite.
So we'll celebrate Vaughn's, boy, talk about snarky, to the snarkiest degree, us having our own Halloween party on the same day as Vaughn's Halloween party on Monday, which is, what is the date? 25th? I mean, not even close to Halloween. Halloween's on a Sunday. The vast majority of Halloween parties are, of course, going to be on Friday and Saturday, and maybe even Sunday on the Halloween itself.
Yeah.
But we're going to be
there on Monday. In spirit.
Because the real Halloween party for a 3-4 Broncos team happens on the 25th.
Right. Right. I wish that we cared. I wish that we were at a point where this mattered. I wish that we could argue about whether Vaughn is making a mistake or not. Unfortunately, like I said, if you're reading a book about all the problems of Denver Broncos, you're getting to like chapter 14 before you're reading about Von Miller's Halloween party.
That's probably true. Mike Evans picked the Broncos. Cecil picked Cleveland. I'm trying to go through the pick 'em here where you can win $250 to King Supers on a week-to-week basis. Sandy picked Cleveland. I picked Cleveland. John Davis. Oh, man. Like Denver. Parker Denver. Rachel Cleveland. Nick Ferguson, Denver. James Merrillat. Of course, Cleveland, Drotar, Denver. And you picked Cleveland. You went back and forth.
I tried to convince myself that all those dang injuries that Cleveland had, that was going to be insurmountable for him, the backup quarterback. At the end of the day, as we were talking, it really came down to our show yesterday, and I'm just talking about the vibe. I'm talking about the scene, and I'm like, you know what? When it's hard to win a game when you're in the middle of a death spiral. I even set you up.
I know you did.
I pointed. I slowed it down.
Wee wee.
It's still funny, right?
I'm laughing.
I mean, hey, every game we lose, we're going to add something to it.
Hey, is Samson in there or not?
Well, I think we might have Samson in there next time.
Your dog, Samson.
I gave it to the fellas. They got a lot going on, man. Okay. They'll replace that pathetic dog with an old English sheepdog here pretty soon.
Can I give you a big breaking McKee family news story?
Oh, did you get a new cat?
This weekend.
Yeah.
The replacement for Glamio comes this weekend.
What's do we got a name yet?
We do not. We do not have a name.
What's the color? What kind of cat?
Don't know anything about. Don't know anything about it.
Shelter cat.
A friend from a big litter. Friend from a friend of my wife's. So not a shelter, but like a cat.
That's a
destined for a shelter if we didn't adopt.
Hey, not mocking at all. I fully understand that period after you lose an animal.
Yep.
It's really tough and it's really awkward because you want another animal, but you're like, oh man, is this offensive to the old one? You know, like we don't want to just like act like, and you're not going to be the other one.
It's a whole process.
You can't replace them, right? No, but you got to be you.
Oh, I was willing to go there a long time ago, but this is, and I respect my wife on this one. It's a big deal though. It's a big deal. So I'm kind of excited.
I like it. I'm happy for you, man.
Yeah, I'm excited.
If you want to, I will. Wait, when do you get the cat?
I think this weekend sometime.
Saturday?
Or if it's not this weekend, it's Monday or Tuesday. It's coming. It's at some point.
Okay. Well, if you want to,
soon,
I will extend my first ever invitation to you and your wife to come over to the Plumbus household.
With our cat?
Bring the cat and just see what Samson does to it.
Okay. Thank you.
Wee wee!
Thanks for the invite. Let's go through some really what's interesting. Carolina Giants, is that interesting? No.
No.
Jets, New England? No.
That was like a game only your mother could love.
Tennessee, KC,
That one's a little bit interesting, actually. It is. I took Kansas City, but I thought about it. You know, do you believe in Kansas City or not? Tennessee could be a team to knock them off.
I took Tennessee, actually.
Oh, did you? I took KC.
God, there's a lot of dogs this weekend, man. We don't have a lot of great games. This is a good honeydew weekend here. Dude, seriously, what's good this weekend?
I'm a single dad with two of my kids this weekend. My wife's got my daughter, my middle daughter. They're going on a swim trip. They're going to be out of town.
Right.
I got the youngest. I got the oldest. I'll be, taking things away, having a good time. We haven't told the youngest yet the mom's not going to be there because we're terrified of what's going to happen. So we're just going to like wake up and mom's gone, right? So we'll see how that goes. Everybody wish me luck. Hey, Broncos Country, my game ball goes out to you guys today. Seriously, I'm not even kidding, not trying to be cheesy. I don't know who to give a game ball to. I wish I could give it to Von Miller for killing a dude. I wish I could give it to Cortland Sutton. Maybe I could. The dude's been showing up. I wish I could give it to Vic Fangio for out-coaching Kevin Stefanski.
No.
But Kevin Stefanski came out on the first drive, and, well, he basically said, forget you, Vic Fangio. I'm taking the ball with my backup quarterback, and I'm going to do the exact same thing at the end of the game. Broncos Country's going through a lot right now, and I know it. I feel it. Richie and Kevin are doing a fantastic job of keeping energy high. We got the death spiral. It's going to be funny. It's going to expand, I think.
Wee-wee!
I don't know what kind of noise we're going to add for the Washington football team. I don't know what kind of noise you add for just the team.
Is there a sound effect for emails? We'll ask Hillary Clinton. Political humor.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
I see you, D-Mac, coming in with a shot on the way out the door. Broncos Country, we love you. I love you. Love the listeners. D-Mac, I even kind of like you. Kevin and Richie, you guys are the best. We got Nick and Cecil coming up next. Yeah.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.